So anyway, so after analyzing all those photos and going through all of that investigative work that we talked about earlier, I have seen a pattern with the hand signals. Right. So essentially,
Obama.
Yeah, Obama, and then Trump did the same one.
Yeah.
So
I see it.
So I think that proves that Obama is one of them. And the reason that Trump did it is because Trump is Obama's son, illegitimate son.
Makes complete sense to me.
So, yeah, I think, yeah. So I'll be ready to, you know, really speak on that.
I think you need to.
Yeah.
People need to know.
I think so. It's important.
I mean, our president's an alien. It's important.
Well, half alien.
Right.
Because Obama, he had an affair.
Right.
With a non-alien.
Either way, though. Yeah. Half is enough. We need to know.
It's true. Yeah.
So. Oh, I think we're rolling.
Oh. Wow. Hey, everybody.
Wow.
We're here. This is Sound Mind. I am a guy.
You are.
Named something. And there's a guy over there.
I'm named something, too.
Stevie D. We're both people.
Justin Hawes.
That's me.
And what are we going to talk about today?
Today, we're going to talk about conspiracy theories.
Oh, that's ironic.
Because we were just talking about one.
Yeah. Well, actually, that was just a conspiracy.
Truth.
Truth.
Conspiracy truth.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Because we know.
Yeah, we proved it.
It's not a theory.
We proved it.
Mm-hmm. So. If the world knew that Trump was Obama's son, do you think they would hate Trump so much?
Hmm. What if they knew he was an alien? Do you think they'd hate him more?
That I think that would kind of counteract. Yeah. Whatever affection would be garnered.
So maybe he'd stay in the same spot.
Yeah. It'll equalize.
So we're going to talk about conspiracy theories.
Yes.
And why don't you kind of set the landscape for us?
Let's look out at these hills, these rolling hills, these plains.
Wow.
Yesterday, I was listening to a podcast.
Yes.
I am an avid listener of the H3 podcast, Experience, formerly Live.
I've heard good things.
And they had Mick West on, and he does a podcast that I've already forgotten the name of.
Yes.
But check it out. If you search Mick West, it'll show up on iTunes. But he has a podcast about conspiracy theories, referring to specific theories, but also interviewing people that believe in them and just kind of dialoguing about that kind of stuff. And anyway, it was a super interesting episode, and they talked a lot about specific conspiracies. They kind of broke down the logic behind them and like where the reasonableness, I guess, of a conspiracy theory starts and ends.
Yeah.
And they did that quite well with a lot of different conspiracies. So I don't want to do that, but I highly recommend the episode.
Yeah.
But I do want to...
That'd be what, Mick West on H3?
H3, yeah. H3 Podcast Experience, formerly Live. So I wanted to more ask the question, what is the motive behind a conspiracy theory? What kind of people believe in them?
Right.
And why? Like, what makes somebody susceptible to a conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
As someone that believes in conspiracy truths, I can definitively say I am not susceptible to a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
I only believe in conspiracy truths.
Okay, so that's
such as Trump being Obama's son.
Right, right. Which we have established.
Yeah.
Facts.
Facts.
So
logic.
So let's, for our audience sake, how do you keep yourself able to identify conspiracy truths versus conspiracy theories being sucked into the vortex that is largely mythology, unless proven to be a conspiracy truth?
Such as?
Right. You said. I'm not going to.
Yeah. Okay. So we've already used this analogy, but they haven't heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And to clarify, I said analogy, not algae. But to revisit this analogy that I already said earlier, but they didn't hear, is you got to take out your wig. Okay, the wig of your mind.
The wig.
And you got to take your comb. Okay.
Comb.
The comb of your brain.
Comb of your
brain. And you
brain.
Need to.
Wig of your mind.
Untangle the hairs in the wig. And you need to see what's tangled.
Right.
And what you can untangle.
Right. And what is the hairs. The hairs are your beliefs.
Your thoughts. Your notions.
So why would you even want to straighten them out if you didn't know there was a problem in the first place?
This is a great question.
Yeah.
So you're talking about diagnosis. How do you diagnose that you are susceptible to a conspiracy theory? Is that your question?
Have the motivation to even start to ask the questions.
Well, I think you should do that with everything. Like, I don't think that should be like, you know, every once in a blue moon, you kind of do a little sift through. What's my favorite pasta? Yeah. What's my favorite? You know, like that. Not like that, but like as you take in new information, just question it, you know?
Right.
Question and get different sources for things before you believe them.
Yeah.
Because if you only have one person telling you what the truth is, you know, that's
faulty.
It could be.
Could be.
We don't know for sure.
Well, it's faulty to base any strong belief off of one voice.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it turns out to be true. It's just sure. The process in getting there is you're going to have problems eventually.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If you're too trusting in one individual.
It's kind of like doing research on Google.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even people who do research papers, don't take all your information from one source.
Yeah.
You know,
that's just faulty.
Oh. Yeah. So, yeah. It should be everyday practice to run a comb through the wig of your mind, the brain comb, through the wig of your mind. So, what's that look like? Why do I believe what I believe? So let's talk about why some people are susceptible to conspiracy theories.
Yes.
Yeah. What makes it so?
I think they're immediately intriguing because, say, we're talking.
Some drama.
And you're like, hold on. Do you actually believe that we landed on the moon? And you're like, well, I did.
Yeah.
I did think that we did. Why would we not have? Well, actually, there's a lot of evidence that we didn't because if you look at the facts of the situation, it seems like we filmed the whole thing on a soundstage.
Wow.
And Stanley Kubrick directed it.
Is that actually a real thing people believe?
I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
They great. Paid millions of dollars.
See, I'm susceptible. I was like, what? People
Dude,
think that?
Stanley Kubrick, what?
Yeah. Do my moon show.
But here's the thing, though. Stanley Kubrick wanted to do it, like, really realistic, so they went to space anyways.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's a fake real.
It's a fake real conspiracy.
Moon landing.
Yep.
Wow.
But anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So it's kind of like, the drama of it, we want to believe. Yeah.
And the government's just trying to trick you. And you're, I'm not going to get tricked by the frickin' government. Mm-hmm. Those idiots.
Yeah,
I think that's an element of it.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of you have kids who grow up in a household, and they get their whole structure of their belief system largely from what their mom and dad believe.
Yeah.
And then you see a lot of these kids, like, hit college.
Yeah.
Especially they go to universities, you know, and all of a sudden their whole worldview is rocked because they've never
encounter
any other information that contradicts idea. Like what they've built their whole worldview on,
which is sketchy. So I think as a parent, that's kind of a wake-up call too, because it's like you have to expose your kids to different ideas and let your kids walk through that process themselves of being like and you know, showing them at first this is how you glean information, you know. This is how you avoid wearing one color of a lens, you know?
Yeah.
And just kind of being able to sift through all that accurately, or at least as accurately as possible. I mean, there's some stuff that we're never going to know the entire truth.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think a lot of it is just kind of just being able to put that into practice of being able to question in a way that's not immediately distrusting, per se.
Right.
Because you're not... It's because it's if your motive is discovering the truth, I mean, that's not a bad motive. You're gonna, even if the search ends up not giving you what you were looking for, it's not a bad thing in and of itself.
Okay, yeah, I think that's a huge point. So, I think a great way to measure some of these things is like who, as somebody in your life who, like for instance, being a father to my children, I want my children to be seekers of truth.
Right.
To dissect ideas and to move through life and find out for themselves what the truth looks like, you know, and there's so many different avenues. Like you can go searching for truth, and that's all going to be how you're wired. Sometimes I think sometimes people that are susceptible to conspiracy theories, they get distracted when they come across one, and then it becomes like a huge focal point of their life.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's hard to like pull yourself out and be like, oh, well, I was actually just, you know, dropping some things off at my mom's house, and now 3 months later I'm like, you know, wiretapping somebody's
your neighbor's house.
So, but if my motive is for my kids to want to know truth, then them questioning things is not, it's not
it's not an attack.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, it's not what's the word, it's not a conflict, it's not, you know, an issue for me. Because it's what I want them to do.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So,
and being honest too, and being able to say, I actually don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I actually don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Let's
find out together. Yeah. Or I think that this is my belief, and here's why I believe what I believe.
Yeah.
You know, because if you can give your kids the research you've done, hopefully, if you've done some, then you're just giving them, you know, a push ahead, which is, you know, what you should do for anybody.
Yeah.
But I think that that would be a huge way to filter information. Like, and this is a good point to bring up. Let's bring up like Charles Manson, for instance, right?
Yeah.
Hugely known conspiracy cult, you know, whatever you want to call it. He convinced, yeah, I can't remember how many people to murder. How many people?
I think it was 4 women.
There was multiple murders, and I think some men were murdered too.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not hugely knowledgeable on that.
Well, Charles Manson didn't commit any of the murders.
Yep.
But had this weird following, right?
Yeah.
So again, whoever you're confiding in, who is giving you information, is the motive them wanting you to search out truth to become a better person? Or do you feel like, you know, there's, what do you call it? Like an ulterior motive. Do you feel like they want something from you? Do you feel like they're trying to, you know what I mean? If you feel bogged down, like if you don't act or respond or think a certain way, like there's tension, you know, that's a huge indicator that, you know, there's some control things going on there.
Yeah. So if someone's asking you to join their cult so that you can murder people,
that's a red flag.
That's a big red flag.
Yeah. But that's not how it works.
Yeah, it's true. It's a slow process.
Yeah. It's like
of winning people over.
Charles Manson was lofty and, like, you know, had these big ideas and, you know, you can know yourself in a deeper way. I see how sad you are, you know, and like, you know, manipulating and using emotions and identity. And so these are a couple factors, you know.
Yeah. I mean, definitely part of it too is what's weird about it. For instance, like Flat Earth, which is like everyone's favorite conspiracy theory to meme on.
Yeah.
Because it's so, I don't want to say easily disproven.
Yeah.
But disproven in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Like, it's measurable. Like, there's an answer to everything, right?
Yeah.
So, an example that Mick West uses on H3 is when he went on a plane, he measured the gradient of the Earth while he was on the plane. So he's like, I'm going to do this myself. Yeah. And it maths. It works out. So it's like a 2% grade, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, yep, there it is. The Earth is curved.
Yeah.
You know? Yay me. But then the response was, well, that's just because the windows of the airplane are curved.
Ooh.
So it looks like it's curved when it's actually flat. There's always a response. There's something that people can use to disprove what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it just, if it conquers your entire life, you know, Maybe you should take a hard look at it. Because logistically speaking, if the Earth is flat, how does that negatively or positively affect you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't. So why keep bringing it up? Like, why do you care about it if it does not impact your life at all?
Right.
Like, so, even if the government hid all this stuff from you and you don't know,
yeah,
it's not going to change your life.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, a lot of them controversies are sourced out of can't trust the government.
Right.
I mean, it's like, well, we know that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not a conspiracy.
This is reality.
Yeah, it's been proven over and over again.
Time and time again.
So why do we need to keep getting wrapped up? So that's a great point. What do you think, man? You think there's got to be like some kind of addictive attribute or something to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I think
maybe some...
I think that the idea that you know something that other people don't is very
powerful.
It's
like gossip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe a lot of people. Well, that's crazy because the tabloids are all filled with conspiracy theories.
Uh-huh.
Right? There's something addictive, I think, going on there, like compulsive.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, people that are prone, like, to drama.
Yeah.
You know?
Like planting seeds, controlling the narrative of a scenario so that it works out in your favor.
Like,
or
conspiracies, like, what?
Those even the idea that you would make it up so that you get to be the one that knows, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's that, but I think there's a lot of people that just get swept into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily like they're a bad person or trying to be, you know, or trying to control things, but they're just like, oh my God, the same people that picked up, you know, People magazine because so-and-so cheated on who?
What?
Oh, I need to know about this, right? So, drama.
Yep.
You know, conspiracy, what's the word I'm thinking? Conflict.
Yeah.
It probably produces some level of adrenaline. You know what I mean? And then you're like, you want to feed that adrenaline, like, and then the cycle continues, dude. I wasn't even anticipating like that when we go on into this conversation, but I think that'd be something to look into. Because the people that get into it, you know what I mean? Like, they get into it. You know what I'm saying? It becomes like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how some people have certain aspects of their life that's part of their life, but people that I know that really get into conspiracy theories, they're like, it's all their life. You know what I mean? Like, you meet them and you say hi, and you know, you're not too far in before you're like, oh yeah. You think that those denim jeans are really made from real denim?
They're actually made from the hair of all the tortured children that America kidnaps from third world countries.
Oh,
man. And they grow their hair out using chemicals, and then they cut it off. And that's how you get your pants.
Wow. I love that person.
I don't know who it is.
You just need to
His name is Gary Jenkins. He lives across the street from you, and he knows where you get your pants.
Man, he's watching you.
You
sound like a little bit like William Dafoe in his role for Green Goblin for the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
A classic.
Classic.
Classic he performance.
Killed it.
Absolutely. Spider-Man. Dude, what a great movie.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
So, addictive nature maybe, right?
Yeah.
Do you question your beliefs or are they spoon-fed to you? I've been guilty of being spoon-fed beliefs.
Mm.
And it's kind of crazy because, like, you just take people's words for it, you know?
Yep.
You take mom and dad's word for it. And I'm not saying don't trust mom and dad. That's not what I'm saying here. But we get our ideas exclusively from people, and we just, you know, the teacher said it. The principal said it. NBC said it. You take your pick. It doesn't make it so. You know, my pastor at my church said it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think there's this thing that people do. Like, as a kid, I admit, I did believe in aliens.
Yeah.
I thought that there was, like, conclusive evidence.
Right.
But, you know, as you get older, you're like, this is not really, like, there are some intriguing points that are made.
Right.
But I wouldn't say that it leads to anything conclusive. And as time goes on, we should be getting more information that will lead to a deeper level of truth, and that has not been the case.
Right.
As time has gone on, we're just it's getting more muddled and more like confusing and less clear. Right. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, the only answer is it's a subspecies of human that lives underground.
Oh.
And they're not aliens at all.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah. Check the facts. Do some research. Do some
go underground. Yeah.
Just because Justin, said it doesn't make it so.
But I did do all the research, though. So.
Right. Which so. Still doesn't just make it so. Got to protect my people from you. The Trump alien Obama connection, now that's legit.
That is legit. That is a conspiracy truth.
So, yeah. So, you want to get into one of these conspiracies a little bit?
Which one are you thinking, dude?
I don't know. There's a handful of them.
They're like right at the tip of our fingers.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different ones we could take our pick from.
Yeah.
You know, I brought up Charles Manson.
Yeah.
We could go into one of those that like was created from a people group, you know, to cast a belief like system.
A belief system that is used to control a populace per se.
Yeah, per se.
You know, tapping into maybe like a religious kind of a thing.
Well, we talk about God quite a bit on this. Maybe we can get into that. Because that was another thing, Charles Manson, there was.
Yeah,
there
absolutely. Was some,
you know, deity language in
spiritual,
there.
Spiritual, the idea that they were searching for spiritual enlightenment or
and a lot of hallucinogenic drugs.
Yeah. Dude, you know I love that stuff.
Whoa. Why? No, he doesn't. He's a good young man.
Learning about them. Not partaking.
Yeah. Do the research on his life if you wonder about Justin. He likes that you wonder. So like that.
Well, I can think of a person
off
the top of my head
that
did partake in the hallucinogenic drugs.
Oh, okay.
And did partake in the witchcraft.
Oh.
And did partake in many a thing they should not have partook in.
Okay.
Came out of a family of witches.
Really?
Wow. Self-proclaimed. I don't know really
now, what now that is means. This factual information based on research you've done?
Yes.
Okay.
It is from memory, however.
Yes.
I have not done this recently.
Right.
So some of this might be a little...
Okay.
But, so I'm referring to a man.
Yes.
Named Joseph Smith.
Okay.
Who grew up in a family of strange people that lived in the woods that did partake of the drugs, like I said.
I did not know that.
Yep. Self-proclaimed Wiccans.
I don't know that either.
I don't know if the term Wiccan was a thing, but they were self-proclaimed witches.
Right. Yeah.
They interacted with demonic entities, according to them. And so he came out of that. And he was like, you know what's great? Mormonism. This thing that I'm doing.
Yeah. So Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism.
Yeah, great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy.
So Mormonism, let's go into it.
Yeah, dude, let's dive in.
Okay.
Mormonism was a violent, awful.
Come on.
Horrible religion in the beginning.
Yeah.
It was used to control people on a mass scale. And the fruit of it was entirely negative for a long time.
Yeah.
A very long time. Well after the deaths of Mormonism's founding fathers.
Right.
Joseph Smith himself was, by all accounts, not a great dude. People talk about a lot how he was anti-slavery. But the reality is that was a very popular opinion at the time, and it was that having – it was – I mean, so this is the belief.
Yeah.
It's like it's hard to even like comprehend this.
Yeah.
But the idea that having anyone of color around was so abhorrent to him that he was like, I would rather just ship them all away.
Yeah.
I would rather they just be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so his thinking was having a slave that was not white was a sin, just due to the facts.
Right, right. So again, anti-slavery. Oh, that's a good thing. And then you dig into it and you can see. Because I know that the original, a lot of the old doctrine, like if you dig deep in Mormonism, is very anti anything beyond white race, right?
Well, I mean, you couldn't even become part of the Mormon church if you were black until like less than a decade ago, right? Or maybe a decade ago?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how long, but
it's
pretty fresh.
Yeah, and that's disturbing.
Yeah.
To say the least. There's a saga that you have to look at mm-hmm. in order to accurately judge Mormonism. Like, we all have that nice Mormon friend.
Right.
But, I mean, if you're looking at it as a belief system, it's the history of it is not nice.
Well, when you sit down to talk, most of the time when I've sat down to talk to someone who is Mormon, they don't know this stuff.
Well, why would you talk about it? Like, why would you talk about how Joseph Smith was this horrible guy when he founded, like, this whole religion that you're practicing?
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't make sense.
Right. Again, this is the brain comb.
Yeah, take out your comb.
Mind wig.
Rub it through your mind wig.
Right. Yeah, there should be multi ways to look at something and be like, oh, yeah, this is because of this, 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 and this. Like, you know, things form, they come together.
Yeah.
And with Mormonism, it's all built upon Joseph Smith. And there's several things that happened that only he was a witness to. Mm-hmm. Like... the scroll, the golden scrolls.
Or tablet or whatever.
Yeah, so the...
He was translating it from his hat.
The angel gave it to him.
Oh, right.
I can't remember the angel's...
I thought it was Michael.
No, it's not Michael. It's... it starts with an M, though. Yeah. Moroni?
Maccabo.
Anyway, the angel.
Yeah,
Maccabo. Give him the scrolls to... Yep.
He's like, you
translate.
Know, yeah. He's like, you know what's like kind of great? Christianity. You know what's better? Not that thing. Something different.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Here it is.
Boom. Run with it.
Straight from heaven.
Yeah.
So he interprets it, but the scrolls, the angel came back for the scrolls right when he was done. So we don't have the scrolls. We have the interpretation from Joseph Smith.
Yeah. Even Old Testament writings, there are many that have survived. Not, of course, the originals, but having been rewritten and transcribed onto other documents, we have very old versions of them.
Right.
That have continued, that can be compared for maybe loss of information or mistranslation or whatever. So there is, and then there's historical crosshairs too.
Yeah.
So the Bible has a lot of historical crosshairs that place people at accurate times and with accurate information.
Right.
And
or so, you can go to places in Israel where those bones still are.
Right. Yeah. And so even if you're not a religious person and you don't think that any of the supernatural things in the Bible happened, there are a lot of things documented in the Bible that we thought happened a certain way, and we laughed at the Bible because, how could you think that happened that way? And then through more archaeological excavation, through more research, it's been discovered, oh, it actually did happen that way.
Yeah.
And the Bible, the Old Testament specifically, that's the way that it happened.
Said it from the beginning.
And so that's not something to laugh at or whatever. The Book of Mormon, I heard it described as Christian fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is an accurate depiction. If you read the Book of Mormon, it is... I mean, to be completely frank, it is nonsensical at best.
Yeah.
It does not have historical crosshairs. It does not. It is so racist.
Yeah.
It is so racist. Just in ways that are completely defy all logic.
Yeah.
Like the idea that the Native Americans were Jews that were cursed and that's why their skin was red.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like something a kid would come up with. That doesn't make sense. It's nonsensical.
Mean, you can, you know, we got the DNA test now.
Right.
You can test anybody's DNA and track origins of where they come from.
Very accurately.
Yeah. So you know, a tribe of Israel gets on a boat and ends up in the United States, and that Jewish tribe is the origins of the Native American people. mm-hmm. we can check their DNA and say, without a doubt, no.
Yeah.
The Native Americans have no connection to the Jewish people, like when it comes to their bloodline.
Say it again.
Whatsoever. And, I mean, there's these huge battles that take place in the Book of Mormon. There's no bones on those places.
There's no historical crosshairs
exactly
to prove right. anything.
Yeah.
So. And then a brilliant rebuttal to Mormonism, that one South Park episode mm-hmm. that I was telling you about, which if you haven't seen that South Park episode, there's some other stuff that we're talking about that they don't talk about.
Yeah.
But that episode, I don't remember the name of it, yeah. but that episode does a phenomenal job of targeting some very glaring flaws
right.
Just in the whole process. Mm. Just talking about Joseph Smith as a guy and about how he was transcribing the original Book of Mormon, and the guy who was writing it down, he was showing it to his wife, and his wife was like, this is bananas. So pretend to lose the document and tell him that you lost it. And if he can give you the exact same transcription a second time, you'll know that he's reading it from somewhere and that you can compare them and go, okay, he's not just making this up. And he thought that was a great idea. And so he did that. Joseph Smith lost his mind, got super mad, and then just gave him different information. Like, he didn't give him the same books again.
Yeah.
He went to a completely different place. Okay, instead of the Book of Levi, I'm going to talk to you about the Book of Lehi. Like, he has, like, how did he convince anyone? It blows my mind.
Yeah.
It's like he's operating solely from a position of the Bible has the ability to captivate people, and so I'm going to pull them in using that as an anchor.
Yeah. So, yeah, just quick little side point is, I love Mormons. So if you are Mormon, I love you. And I would love to talk to you about all these things. I also really yeah. love God, and I really love Jesus, and I believe that you can have mm-hmm. like a real encounter with him. And so I just want to point that out there. I've got nothing against Mormons. The belief system of Mormonism, I am in total agreement from everything that we're talking about, is it really does fall into conspiracy theory.
It reeks.
It reeks.
So I'm going to be honest. Yeah. I've had a lot of extended conversations with Mormons,
yeah.
and they never went anywhere.
Oh, really?
Because they're not, in my experience, mm-hmm. I was asking questions they did not have the answers for. Because mm-hmm. for me, as a Christian, because they claim that they're Christians as well.
Right.
The word of Jesus is enough for me. Mm-hmm. I don't need anything else. Mm-hmm. And they're telling me there's all this extra stuff, extra doctrine, extra things to do that Jesus didn't even talk about, address. Why are you trying to subtract from what Jesus is saying by adding all this other junk? It doesn't matter. And so they claim the same thing at first. Oh, of course, we're followers of Jesus. We want to do what Jesus says. But then we get into a conversation, and it's like, oh, well, when I have to choose between doing what Jesus said to do and all this extra stuff, I would prefer the extra junk.
Right.
And so that, I have an issue with that.
Well, yeah.
Don't tell me that, you know, you're trying to do, I'm just trying to follow Jesus.
Right.
And then also follow Joseph Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've had a lot of different conversations with Mormons too, and some of mm-hmm. mine have went somewhere. Typically, you know, they come to your house.
Yeah.
In twos.
Whether you want them to or not.
Missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
In twos. Typically, there is one younger and one older, and I don't necessarily mm-hmm. mean age. I mean yep. their length of time being a leader in Mormonism.
Yeah.
But a lot of the young ones are fresh out of their missions training that's mm-hmm. done in Salt Lake City, and something happens at this thing. I don't know exactly what happens, but something happens there. Most of the young ones I've asked, when did God become real to you? A lot of the answer I get is, it became real at missionary school.
Hmm.
So something happens there. in Salt Lake City, and they buy in. And I, granted, a lot of the young ones that I'm asking this to, and I'm talking, you know, 22, 20, 24, they grew up in Mormon households. You know what I'm saying? They were around this their whole life, but still, commonly, the answer I get is it became real in missionary school.
Interesting.
So something happens there. And unfortunately, a lot of them are really hungry to know truth. Now, again, we're talking about conspiracy theory and the motive behind them.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like someone is leading you into knowing truth, eventually, as you walk in relationship with that person, you begin to trust them because you feel empowered by their influence in your life.
Right.
When somebody has an agenda or a motive to get you to think a certain way, you can feel that. That's different. It's not empowering. It actually feels like something that they want you to wear. You know, it's confining, right. It's pressure. You, when you are fighting it or questioning it, you feel more tension. You know, it's actually a very easy way to kind of filter through your life and to recognize those influences. You know, those influences in my life could be toxic if I let them. If I identify them and I know, like, oh, I feel this when they're around, but I'm set in myself and I know, like, okay, I can still. At first, when I'm learning this, I'd say push those toxic people out of your life if you can.
I mean, you need to be able to recognize that's what's happening for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, if I had to sum up, you know, my position on it, is anything that's not, as a Christian, anything that's not doctrinally part of what Jesus said doesn't really matter.
Right.
So why buy in? You know, I'm not going to buy into that if it doesn't matter to what Jesus was saying.
Right.
And I have not heard a rebuttal to that. So if you're a Mormon and you want to come on the show and you want
to
rebut that, let's rebut all day, dude.
Let's do it.
I'll rebut your butt and then we'll rebut each other's.
No, I'd love that. That'd be great. And the thing, you know, even in the scripture with Jesus, like if you look, his motive was truth. You know, to bring truth, to see people healed. You know, I mean, he did all the things that were wrong in the eyes of the religious people. You know, he's got prostitutes running after him, or, you know, washing his feet and, like, you know, wanting to worship. Like, and people are like, do you know what kind of woman this is? And he's like, it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
You don't know. You know, so he, it's just a complete different. You know, when the Mormons knock on your door. And they know it, too. I mean, it's not we're knocking on your door because our goal is to convert you into our belief system.
Right. You know?
For me, as a Christian following Jesus, like, I hope that you encounter the love of God and you're set free by who he is in your life, because I want freedom for your life.
Mm.
But I'm not trying to convince you of things.
Does it matter if you believe the stuff?
Yeah, because I mean,
and that's the thing.
We could really get into this, like, on a whole nother level.
Let's go. Because
there's so many different sects of, I know, of Christianity.
Yes.
That fall into the very same motive as this Mormon piece that we're talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So again, like, just because somebody says, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, and they go to some denominational church that believes closer to, you know, it's all about motive. Are you, are they trying to conform you into something, or are you being set free? You know, are you feeling like weight is coming off of your life? Jesus said that about the Pharisees and Sadducees. He said, you keep adding weight to people that are oppressed, you know, but I've come to set people free, you know.
Dummy dum-dum.
So that's a huge indicator. But, you know, so ask a lot of questions. And,
I mean, we don't have to just dump on Mormonism. We can dump on Catholicism too, dude.
Okay, dump on Catholicism.
Catholicism is all about controlling people. I mean, if you look at the history of Catholicism, they were trying to get, well, if you pay us, we'll take off years of purgatory,
right?
Because, and by the way, purgatory is not even mentioned in Scripture. So if you don't know how the Old Testament – and New Testament came to be documents that were packaged together as the Bible, a massive, let's just say a convention, mm-hmm. was held where all these biblical leaders have all of these books, right? Okay, well, how do we compile this thing, right? So what they decide to do is there has to be three cross-references, okay? So it has to reference other books, and other books have to reference it. And I forget which way it went, but it was like it had to reference two other books, and one other book had to reference it, mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah.
And then every other book was left out.
Yeah.
So, for instance, the books of Maccabees, I think there's four.
Mm-hmm. Are those the ones in the Catholic Bible?
They are in the Catholic Bible.
Right. So those are the four that aren't in the...
There's a lot. There's a lot of books that are not in a normal... I'm going to say a normal
right.
Christian Bible
yeah.
that are in the Catholic Bible.
More than four.
There's a lot.
Okay.
Some of them are fun. I've read them all.
Yeah.
Some of them are like fun little stories. Oh, that's so nice.
Right.
Like it's like a Jewish folktale, right? Like the Book of Tobit yeah. is like a folktale. Bell and the Dragon. Fascinating.
Is that the Lent one or coughed up the like hairball?
The dragon and the hairball thing. Yeah, that's Bell and the Dragon.
Okay, so back to the Book of Maccabees, four books. I don't want to cut you off if you were trying to make.
Yeah, I was going to go back.
Okay.
But yeah, so Maccabees disagrees completely doctrinally with the rest of the Bible, the entire rest of the Bible. How are you going to put that next to the entire rest of the Bible and say this book is equally valid? It does not make sense.
Right.
Just completely. The idea of the afterlife, the idea of just so many elements of Christianity are in complete disagreement with the Book of Maccabees. There is some fascinating historical stuff in the Book of Maccabees,
yeah.
but it does not belong in the Bible, and that was the judgment that they made at the time, and I agree with that. But yeah, Catholicism is... or was, when it first began, I can't speak to Catholicism now, but it was an attempt to control. Almost every element of Catholicism was an attempt to control. The uniformity of the ranking, right? Mm-hmm. So you wear like these special clothes because you're special. You stand up higher than everyone else. That was something Catholicism started. Having a podium that the preacher would step up onto is a Catholic idea. Mm-hmm. I'm standing over you, telling you what to think.
Right.
The idea that only they can translate the Bible to you.
Yeah, right.
You don't get to own a Bible. Like that's all. Those are elements of control. Right. And it, and some of that continues today. It's a lot better than it was, at least in America.
It continues today, like not only in Catholic circles. It continues today in all religious, you know.
It had a spreading effect.
Yeah.
And it's not that Catholicism started something.
Right.
It was that we as humans take advantage. So yeah. we see, oh, there's power in this thing. I'm going to use it to achieve my goals.
Exactly.
Which for Joseph Smith was almost completely short term. I want to have more sex more frequently, and I want to be able to get the things that I want from all these people. But he created, I hope that he didn't do this on purpose, but he created an empire
right.
off of this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous thought.
Yeah.
No matter who you are.
The interesting thing with Mormonism, too, is so they have 12 apostles, and mm-hmm. they have a prophet. And so one of the things that they've been able to do, because doctrinally, you know, you've got the Church of Latter-day Saints, and you got a Reformed Church of Latter-day Saints, but a common thread you've seen too is they've acknowledged at different points, our doctrine that we're based on is completely flawed, and we're going to change it now. And
uh-huh.
one of the ways that they do that is when they have their one prophet, and it's a belief in there that like what the prophet says is now doctrine,
mm-hmm.
right? So because of the way that even their leadership is set up, it allows for their doctrine to continually morph.
Yes.
And still be divine, even though it contradicts this year what it did 20 years ago.
Which, miss me with that crap.
Yeah.
For sure.
And another thing that does, too, it doesn't necessarily nullify what was done before. Because it's like, no, that was then.
That was then. And they do that with the Bible, too.
Yeah.
Well, anything that's different in the Book of Mormon, since the Book of Mormon was after the Bible, it overwrites what's in the Bible. So that allows them to completely, they don't have to cross-reference to make sure that it's accurate. They can just bowl it over. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, there's that. A bunch of crap we just opened up. A crap show.
A can. So, can of worms.
You know, as we're talking, I realize that something with the younger generation coming up now is it's almost like we've been fed so much crap. Like, I don't want to believe anything.
Yeah.
You know, so everything goes.
Yeah. But we believe in the self.
Yeah.
Right. What about my truth? Well, you might have your truth, Stevie.
Right.
But I have my truth.
Right.
I've experienced life differently.
Right.
And so my truth is that this is fine to do.
Right.
I can do this.
Right. Well, I think that happens.
Yeah.
And I think that the proof of if it's working or if it's good is the fruit, or it's the effect. What does that get you?
Right.
You know, because if your truth keeps leading you into abusive relationships where you get your butt kicked.
Yeah.
And then dude goes to jail and, you know, you've given up a couple kids for adoption and he gets out, you're still in love and, you know, and we're going to sit here and have a conversation and someone's going to validate your truth. Because there is you are believing something,
mm-hmm.
and you are convinced that it's true, and it has a very vicious cycle in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that relative thing, you know, now I'm sitting here going, no, both are valid. You know, you say that, you just want that person to stay in sickness, stay in, you know, toxicity, stay in abuse.
And this, I mean, this really does circle around to how we started this. And essentially what it is the things that you believe will affect your life somehow. And so it's just a matter of figuring out how. Like the scenario you started with towards the beginning where you just get distracted. Mm-hmm. You just veer off because you're exploring this conspiracy theory. That is going to have an effect on the relationships in your life.
Yeah.
And the question is that going to be a positive or a negative one?
Right.
And just so evaluate. You know, what is the things that you believe, what is the effect?
Yeah. And if you're having to spend a grip of energy to justify the reasons why this pursuit in your life is having a negative effect on you, then you're probably in danger of, you know, ending up in a hole that it's going to be harder to get out of.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're the only voice that you're trusting, that's already an issue.
And yeah, and I mean, you did the spiel of like, oh, like, don't get mad at us. We love you. Mm-hmm. Like that kind of thing.
Yeah. That's not why I did that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
So I just kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit. Like, I dislike dishonest representations.
Yeah.
And so when I look at Catholicism and Mormonism,
yeah,
I dislike the representation of Christ that they give.
Yeah.
And that is what I dislike.
Yeah.
So any conversation that we have about Mormonism or about Catholicism, mm-hmm. is about that.
Yeah.
It's not about anyone in particular besides maybe Joseph Smith.
Yeah.
It's about how those ideas portray a person that I believe in. So
yeah, and I mean, it's not. I love all people. I've had lots of conversations. I enjoy having conversations with people that are from the Church of Latter-day Saints. I enjoy having conversations with people who practice Catholicism. I enjoy having conversations with lots of different people with lots of different beliefs. And I've actually had. It's crazy. I've had relationships with people that are Mormon, that the relationship came to a place where their agenda wasn't happening. And I said, hey, you know, this isn't going to happen. But I like you, and I would like to keep on having a relationship.
Yeah.
And that was where it stopped, mm-hmm. you know. Now, if I'm ever going to talk to that specific person again, we're going back there. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, I'm not saying, you know, it's all individual based. I have a problem with the belief system, and I'd love to have conversations with people when we end up in a place where it's like, okay, you're being deceitful or you're not even willing to embrace another point of view. That's stupid to me.
Yeah.
Like, you're being an idiot. If you're only going to embrace one idea, like, and you haven't, you've been fed it by one other person. And I mean, I'm sorry to be so blunt, but like, you're being stupid if you're not getting your belief system from multiple sources and digging and studying these things out. And I don't have time for idiots in my life. You know what I mean? If you're searching, then like, let's continue. Cause I'm searching.
Yeah. Let's
you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm searching for truth. I have some areas in my life that I've discovered, like, these are working and I believe this is true, and some other areas that I'm wondering about, you know. But a year from now, like, I'm gonna think different about a lot of these things. I might think, you know, the same on some, but
you're gonna be in a different spot. So even if you're just more firm in the beliefs that you have now, you're gonna be in a different spot, because if you're constantly searching, you're going to see not only new information, but you're going to see information that either validates or disproves whatever we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just that would be my recommendation as well.
Yeah. So I just draw a line there. Like I said, I love all Mormons. I love to talk to them. And know that, like, we can have a conversation, and if you're searching, we can continue to have conversations. I don't care if you're a Mormon, a this or that or whatever. The moment where I feel like you're being an idiot, you know, I only have a certain amount of time in my life to spend, and I want to make sure that time goes to places where it's actually going to be useful.
Yeah.
You know, so then I don't have time for idiots.
Yeah.
You know, that are stuck in their ways, you know. So that's where, you know, we'd have to part ways. But I can love you from a distance, but I'm not going to sacrifice time trying to, you know what I mean,
convince you of something that you're walled off. Yeah.
And it's not even for me, it's not, I don't even really try to convince. I just like asking the questions together.
Yeah. You
know, let's ask the questions, let's look, you know, because like I said, like we established in the beginning, I feel like a good leader or a good influence in your life is somebody who wants you to discover truth for yourself, get you on the path to searching truth, to finding God for yourself, you know what I mean, and questioning these things out for yourself. So, you know, I'm not trying to convince you of that, you know. I'm trying, that's what I want for my life. So, you know, hopefully, if my life doesn't bring you closer to God naturally, you know, then I might not be an influence that, you know, is building your life in a positive way.
Yeah.
You know, so I hope that it is.
Yeah. And the reason I said what I said about convincing is because the way that that relationship has opened up for me every time is I'm here to tell you about a thing that you need to believe.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's where the conversation starts.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to come out in counter of that and be like, well, actually, you know, but that doesn't really go anywhere as I've said earlier.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. And that's, I've been able to kind of take some of those opportunities and shift the focus or come at it from another angle. And so the whole interaction isn't just based on, this is because why, you know, debating doesn't work. Debating never really converts anybody. People who like, and I like to debate. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
But it really, like, when you enter into a debate, it's usually two people who are set on something that want to present their arguments against a contrast. But no one, you know, I'm convinced of this, you're convinced of this, and when we leave, it's probably going to remain that way.
Well, yeah, at least for, because a debate isn't for the people having the debate.
Right.
A debate is a forum for everyone else.
Right. So if you don't have
experience to opposing ideas and compare
and come up with their conclusions.
Right.
So if you're in a situation where you're talking to Mormons and there's nobody around you, don't have a debate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Pray together. That's a good one. Mm. You know? Ask questions together. You know, hear their story, get to know each other. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, form something real. And eventually, you know, in my experience, they'll probably quit sending the same ones to your house.
Yeah.
And they'll send older ones who try to pigeonhole you into reading the whole book. or like, are you gonna do this or not? That's when it gets weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, to all my young Mormon friends out there, who I hopefully had an impact on your life, as you did mine. You know, I hope you're still searching God for yourself and not just drawing your conclusions from what everybody feeds you.
Yeah. Because that's the part that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not anything else.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if we really ended where I thought we were.
Yeah, we didn't really go to the places that I thought we would go, but yeah. That's fine. Yeah. We can do whatever we want.
We can.
And we do.
And we have.
And with that, we bid you adieu.